On today's episode of Double Down Trent, I cannot believe the NFL season is about to be over. That's right, we've got the Super Bowl on Sunday. It's the Chiefs, it's the Bucks, Mahomes, Brady. We've got a great game in store. We've got Coulter and Hughes on the episode as we're talking multiple props, and we make our official picks. Are we going to be riding the underdog and Tom Brady at +3, or is this the start of a new dynasty by Patrick Mahomes? Stay tuned for episode 99 of Double Down Trent.
Double Down Trent, you might want to tune in. Talking gambling and sports, predicting who might win. Pop culture to movies, let's start up the combo. Ryan and Aaron, man versus the motto. Keep it authentic and it's always live. So competitive, so you know it's always hype. Make sure you subscribe, trust you don't want to miss. Going all in here on Double Down Trent. Hey, yeah. Double Down Trent, let's go.
This is Double Down Trent.
The Chiefs are back-to-back AFC champions.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady are going to Super Bowl 55.
Any unusual bets being made?
Of course it's bets being made. It's a Super Bowl.
Waiting for the perfect time to get back at the Dolphins. The time when it would hurt them the most. Super Bowl time.
All right, welcome to Double Down Trent, the podcast where two elementary school buddies are talking sports, gambling, and pop culture. My name is Ryan. I am your co-host, as always. Joining us tonight, our NFL insider, Coulter. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing awesome. It's Super Bowl week. This is the culmination of the season. More importantly, there's more prop bets out there than anybody should ever have access to. And it's just like, it's overwhelming and it's overjoyous. And it's all these mixed emotions. And most importantly, it's just going to be a great game. Mahomes, Brady, doesn't get much better than that. At the quarterback position, I think you have two. As we talked about last week, I think underrated defenses, they may or may not show up. And that's kind of the element of the game that I keep trying to grapple with. And I'm sure we'll talk it out here over the next hour. But, you know, you've got great quarterbacks. Just really how great can they be and how much will can the defenses exert on the offenses in this game remains to be seen. And I think will be obviously the most important element when the game concludes Sunday night.
Great points. I'm so excited for this week that's here. This weekend, I was like lost. Sunday, I was clicking around. I had no football in my life. I forced my wife to watch Friday Night Lights just to kind of like whet my appetite. It's good that we're here. So we've also got our Patriots expert living in Philly, Phil Hughes. What's up, bud?
What's going on, guys? Good to be with you. For Super Bowl week, being as a Pats fan, I was just reminiscing with some friends about, you know, how many times, you're going into the game nervous, feeling like, you know, are you going to win or are you going to lose? And there's a little bit of that's not there. But I think Tom being in it, obviously, like we've talked about the past couple weeks, brings a little bit of that back for me. So I'm excited to get into the bets and some of the angles on the game. But I'm also excited to see the game. Though they have played each other already this year, I think it's going to be a good matchup. I think the teams are at, you know, interesting places in their evolution as the season's gone on. And, you know, thankfully the barber didn't cut too many people's hair. Otherwise, we might have had half the Chiefs lineup available, or maybe they would have had to move the Super Bowl. I don't know what would happen. We could talk about that hypothetical. That would have been crazy. But ultimately, it looks like the NFL made it. And I know they're not taking any victory laps yet, but the fact that they got here with the way that the season was during COVID, with what we've seen from all the other pro leagues, I'm just pumped for the game. I can't wait for the ball to go in the air and to see what we get.
Man, imagine if that Super Bowl had to get postponed because of a barber and some haircuts. I'll tell
that
you what.
Barber would have ended up like Al Pacino and the Irishman.
Yeah, exactly. It would have been so bad for them. And I'm going to go out on the limb and just put on a conspiracy theory here. There's no way there's going to be any positive tests that are leaked from here on out. Even if someone tests positive, the NFL is burying that shit. That game is going on as planned with the stars. Just my hot take on it. Hughes, I know you brought some good points there. Brady being there, you know, brings back some emotions for you. Talk through just a little bit of what you're expecting to see from Tom. I mean, the guy's obviously ageless. We've done a lot of, tributes to him in the past weeks. Do you think he's going to come out and look like sharp Tom Brady?
I don't know. I mean, I think I think, as history has shown, it sometimes can take them a little while to get into the game in the Super Bowl. You know, I think they've come from behind in several, or the Pats did, I shouldn't say they. Tom has come from behind. But at the same time, I do think the comfort level with having been there before, the idea that it's at home, and the, you know, just the general weirdness of this Super Bowl and maybe it not really feeling like a Super Bowl, I don't know how to handicap that in based off whether that helps a Bucs team, you know, that really is kind of young, up and coming, as opposed to a Chiefs team that was there last year. But, you know, I think for Tom, I mean, 10th Super Bowl in, you know, of the last 20 years or 21 or 19 years. And like, it's just crazy. So I think, I mean, I think he'll be ready to go. I think he's, if you've seen him, he looks calm, cool, and collected, like he always does. I think he's done, you know, definitely thrown a few bouquets to Pats fans, to New England, to the people that are supporting him. You've also seen some stuff in the media, Danny Amendola kind of going after the Patriot way, which has been kind of an interesting twist as a Pats fan this week. But no, I think Tom will be ready to go. I think ultimately the question we need to ask, can Tom have the rest of the team ready to go, the coaching staff ready to go, and everybody else ready to rise to the occasion? Because it's going to take them all. This Chiefs team is historically good. I do think that, you know, when we get into this, we'll have, you know, some angles on where the Bucs, I think, can and are going to exploit the Chiefs. But, you know, I think this is a legacy game. I love how we've, you know, we've gotten to this point every time with Tom. But again, if he wins this, I just don't know how he doesn't just walk off the field and just say, no, I can never be stopped.
I would think that that would be like, you know, his little Michael Strahan moment where he retires on top. But the way he's playing and he's 45, I mean, how the hell is he going to walk away after winning a Super Bowl in his first year at the Bucs? I mean, it would just be shocking to me.
I mean, all he has to do is look at quarterback stats in the second year under Bruce Arians. I mean, he's due to break every passing record in the NFL. Again, if he can keep the weapons there, if they can stay healthy next year, the offensive line is young and good. I mean, this is a scary good team next year, in my opinion. I don't know why he would retire. Who's he going to pass the reins to? They don't even have anybody. They're all in on at least 2 years of Tom Brady. I think, again, win or lose, they're running it back. Unless he gets hurt. Knock on wood. Unless he gets hurt, I think we definitely see Tom Brady next season, because this team is not like, oops, we got 1 year window. This is like a multi-year window deal.
Oh, yeah. And I saw a stat, Coulter. I'm going to forget who the exact names are, but it was a list of like six Hall of Fame quarterbacks who were inducted into the Hall of Fame at age 43. It was like Marino, Elway, Young, like the legends. And here we've got Brady, who could potentially win a Super Bowl at age 43. I mean, it's just insane to think about.
Yeah, it defies logic. It defies everything that we grew up with. And I mean, that's why he's going to be the person that we talk about the most with our kids one day. You know, he's going to be the guy that, you know, his legacy will dwarf everybody else in this kind of, you know, era that he's played in, or the two eras that he's played in. I mean, this guy played football in a season with Daryl Green, the old football team defensive back, who was drafted in the same season as John Elway and Marino. So there's your bridge gap to literally our father's football in 1983 to here we are in present day 2021.
So I tracked down the names. Here they are: Steve Young, Dan Marino, John Elway, Joe Montana, Otto Graham, all elected into the Hall of Fame at age 43. And Tommy's out there competing for a Super Bowl. Just insane. Hughes, you brought up a good point, though, I do want to spend a minute or two on, is that home field advantage. And I know it's been a huge thing that's talked about for as long as the Super Bowl's been at a neutral site. The Bucs did it. But this is the 1 year where I feel like I don't even know if it's going to make that big of a difference. I mean, besides maybe the comfort level of being in your locker room, being in your house, I guess, the night before, do you really think it's going to have that big of an impact?
I don't know. No acclimation period. So I think they're flying in Saturday, playing Sunday, typical, you know, COVID game week protocols. So I do think, I think it's going to feel like any other week. And I don't know how that factors in, and whether, again, to your point, does that factor into the fact that, you know, there just feels like the home team's more comfortable because of all those things, like where they're waking up in their own bed, they're, you know, going to the stadium, or sometimes playing on the road's better. You know, you can get guys kind of isolated, you can get them. And I'm sure Tampa's staying in a hotel the night before. They're not staying at their actual house, but you know what I mean? They stay at that hotel probably for every home game. They know where they're at. They know all their comfortable surroundings, you know, the food, the everything. So anyways, I don't know. I think that it will help a younger team just kind of play a normal game. So I do think it may help the Bucs on defense, along with the Bucs on offense, in terms of some of their receivers who have had some weird dropsy type games. I think there will be. I think I'm hoping that they'll play a little bit better, a little tighter.
Yeah, and I was wondering too, like from a fan standpoint, in a regular season, I almost don't even know if it would have made that big of a deal, because I feel like the crowd at the Super Bowl is a lot of corporate and suits, and it's not necessarily the same fans. Who knows if, you know, the regular fans would have paid out. I'm not so sure a city like Tampa Bay would have, but, you know, now, not that the Super Bowl would ever be played in Buffalo outdoors, but I feel like Bills Mafia would have showed up, and that would have maybe made a difference. Coulter, what's your take on this? You think it's something to factor into the line?
From a gambling standpoint, absolutely. I mean, if there's any 3.5s out there, I say you take it, because, I mean, I think you have Brady, which makes that 0.5 valuable. He will always cover, and we just don't know what the home field. We've never seen a game like this, right? I mean, this could be a gigantic, you know, people can speak until they're red in the face about how it might not be a factor at all. But at the end of the day, this could be a huge factor in favor of Tampa Bay. We just don't know, because it's never happened before. The experts say it will have a minimal effect. I say that the unknown of it is definitely worth at least a 0.5. So again, if you can find 3.5s or even tease up to 3.5, why not? If you like the Bucs side on the spread, I mean, I'm definitely, you have to factor it in. When I see that 3.5, when the line opened originally on Sunday night after the conference championship games, that was my first thought, was if they're home, that 0.5 should not exist. It should be 3 flat. If you're saying Casey's that much better, that's fine. But the 0.5 is where you get me to side with the Bucks, because it is a home game for them and it's too much of a variable.
Well, what do you both make of the fact that the Chiefs have played in Tampa Bay this year, and they're going to have a degree of normalness for them? They've been in they'll probably stay at the same hotel. They know the routine there. They know where they're going. They've been in that locker room. I mean, Hughes, do you think that kind of counteracts the fact that Tampa Bay is at home?
Yeah, and I mean, I think, again, the Chiefs are talent is going to outweigh most of that stuff at the end of the day. So I think the Chiefs, with how good they are, I wouldn't read too much into the fact that I think kind of maybe the historical element of first time, you know, a home team gets to play in a Super Bowl and possibly winning in your home stadium. You're right. It's not going to have the same feel. It's not like game 7 of the NHL finals when you win in front of your home crowd and the place is going banana land and the rafters are on fire. I mean, it's not going to be like that. So, like, yeah, no, I don't think there's going to be that level of advantage in terms of, I mean, again, have we seen a silent count all year? Like, have we seen any of the stuff that we would normally, and normally you're right, the Super Bowl wouldn't be like that anyways. It's usually more of a level playing field because it's at a neutral site. I don't think Bucks fans would have overly thrown out to make sure that they packed the stadium and made sure there was a difference. So no, I don't think there's much of a difference. So I would think it's more of a wash, but again, I mean, having to travel in itself is tiring to some degree, playing down day before. I don't know.
Hughes, you've got Brady in the game. You got your, you know, Pats tie. As I was saying to you guys before we hit record, I got my Giants ties here. We got JPP on the D-line for the Bucks, former Giant, who's won a Super Bowl with us. And the Chiefs D coordinator is my guy, Spags. So I kind of like this. This is a Giants win-win for me here. What I do want to bring up, though, let's get to kind of the nitty-gritties of the game here. Hughes, I'm going to do this because it just seems like it's fitting. We've got Spags game planning against Tom Brady, and it seems like a very similar defense in a way where they've got some front four guys that can get some pressure, especially up the middle, guys like Frank Clark. Do you think that has any kind of maybe an edge, or, you know, is Spags and Chiefs feeling better that he's game planned in a Super Bowl against Brady before?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think he's had success. He's been there before. I think the recipe for disrupting Tom Brady has been pretty known throughout time. The key is just having the horses to do it. And though we talked about there being some Giants connections, I mean, I don't know if you want to go ahead and compare the Chiefs defensive line to the defensive line that showed up in that Super Bowl against the Pats, because I mean, I think there are a lot of guys on that Giants defensive line that would be offended other than being compared maybe to Chris Jones. And you know, Clark's fine. I mean, like, you know, they've got good guys. I'm not hating on them, but it's not that defensive front. I mean, this is not the team that I think. And I also think the Bucs offensive line, not to say the Pats were slouchy at the offensive line. I mean, they always had a really good offensive line. But this Bucs offensive line, I think, from what I've watched, has been really, really good. They nailed their first round pick in Wirfs. He's been awesome. They've got a little bit of nastiness in the center, who's always downfield trying to hurt people. I think the thing that kills the Bucs potentially in this game is penalties. If this crew is flag happy, this Bucs team, again, Bruce Arians has no discipline. They will get flagged. Now, traditionally, so do the Chiefs. So I don't know. It could be a flag. Like, that's the only thing about this game that I'm scared of, is that this turns into a little bit of a flag fest. But I think the rest will keep it together. They've done a great job all year, not throwing a lot of PIs, not throwing a lot of, you know, cheap ticky-tack penalties. So I'm hoping that sticks on. But You know, I do think, again, getting back to Spags, I think he does definitely bring a certain level of, legitimacy to what the guys in that room are going to be hearing. I just don't know if they have the horses to really get after Tom like it's happened in the past.
Very fair. And I do not want to compare that line to the Giants line. I mean, that's just not fair. But I do think that – oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was trying to get at the fact that they do have some guys that can generate pressure up the middle, which in my experience, what I've seen against Brady, that's kind of what you want to do is get it up the middle and kind of get them off that center spot.
Yeah, definitely. No, and I think, you know, as we get into some of these props, I got a couple interesting ones because I do think one of the defensive lines is going to have a huge impact on this game. It may be the Chiefs. It may not be.
Coulter, what are you seeing from this game as maybe like a swing factor or something maybe that people aren't, obviously looking at right now?
I think the situation where Tampa Bay's defense can slow down Kansas City's run offense to the point where Kansas City is so one-dimensional that they know that they're passing. And then it becomes problematic where, you know, Mahomes is forcing balls into tighter windows. They've found a way to kind of stay on Kelsey, and he's not absolutely throttling them down the middle of the field. And the game all of a sudden is, you know, Kansas City's down 10 points, 14 points, and they're not coming back like they're used to doing. I think that's kind of the element to me that, or the way that the game plays out that I think people might not think is possible, but I definitely see. And that's kind of Kansas City looking like the team we saw in the back half of the year. I keep thinking of that Falcons game where it was 17-14 at KC, and granted Tampa Bay struggled with that same Atlanta team the first time they played them, but they did solve that team by the second half of that first game, and I think they put up 30 points. And the fact that Mahomes and company fully healthy really couldn't do that is a little concerning to me. And you look at some of the other games, Denver being another one where at their home, they don't get margin. It has me thinking that Tampa Bay might be the team to win in a maybe more comfortable fashion and take a chance, not only in the money line, but maybe Tampa by more than 3.5 points at plus 250.
Ooh, baby. You make some.
I know you asked me for an element. I was thinking of like the linebackers shutting down the run game, and then the linebackers wreaking havoc on Kelsey. And so I guess Tampa Bay's linebackers is what I was saying, is they hold down that defense in a way that we are not looking at right now before the game kicks off. You mean obviously Brady coasts on offense.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say a lot of good points. We've talked about it on this podcast is that the Chiefs kind of play down to their competition, and we've seen them get off to slow starts, we've seen them get into deficits, but the crazy part is they seem to get out of those deficits and they win these games, which is wild. For me, my only concern right now about the Chiefs, and it's a really big concern, is their offensive line. I mean, obviously with Fisher going down, that is huge, and they've got guys like JPP, they've got Shaq Barrett, they've got a really good pass rush on the Bucs. So does that play into effect? I think it has to. And you know, when you lose a guy like Fisher, who knows? I mean, that could be a huge difference maker. All of a sudden, you know, the timing's a little off. Mahomes has got to throw the ball a little quicker. Maybe he's got to, you know, get out of the pocket. All things that he can do, but I'm sure he prefers to be sitting back in a clean pocket. That's the one thing that has me just slightly nervous, is the line is just kind of put together a bunch of guys who, not the starting lineup that they had in week one.
Yeah, and you have to think about the Mahomes era Chiefs too. I mean, obviously they have the loss to Brady and company 2 years ago, and then since then, obviously beat Deshaun Watson. Got to give him a ton of credit in that game, coming back from a deficit. But since then, have beaten Ryan Tannehill, Jimmy Garoppolo, Baker Mayfield, and Josh Allen. And I know Allen kind of took a huge step up this year, but at the same time, I mean, entering the season, you know, he was below Ryan Tannehill in our pedigree in mind. So I mean, let's just pump the brakes as to what, you know, he really truly is at this point. I mean, I think he's potential to be a top five quarterback. I don't know if he's truly there yet based on what we saw 2 weeks ago in the conference championship game. So it's important to remind yourself that going against Brady is a completely different animal. This guy's unrelenting. You know, it's like going against the T-1000 in Terminator 2.
So I had a hypothetical that I wanted to put out there to you guys, and we talked about the MVP last week. We got those odds. Maybe we'll, you know, incorporate a little of this episode. What would happen if the game plays out exactly like the earlier regular season game that they played, where Tyreek Hill goes absolutely insane early, the Chiefs jump out to a lead, the Bucs come back, they cover this 3.5, 3 that you see in the board. Who's going to get the MVP? Would it be Tyreek Hill because he had an absolutely historic day, or would it still be Mahomes? Hughes, what do you got?
Mahomes. I think again, and I don't want this to be a woke take necessarily. I do not think anybody wants to give Tyreek Hill the MVP. I mean, I hate Tyreek Hill personally.
People that are putting money on Ty Hill are wasting their money. I can prove it.
I do not foresee a situation where the NFL, unless they have absolutely no control of it and he goes for 300. If he goes big, like they're going to give it to Mahomes. It just makes sense. Mahomes is the straw that starts drink. If he has like a return touchdown, and I don't know, like he doesn't, I don't know. I guess there's a scenario where it could happen, but I do think the league has no interest in sending Tyreek Hill to Disneyland. I mean, like, of all things, like, I mean, they may not even be doing that this year with COVID and shit, but like, I don't think that happens.
I mean, they gave it to Jules, right?
Yep.
And the Rams won. But that game was so abnormal where it was to the point where it was so low scoring. You know, the possibility crept in where you don't have to give it to a quarterback. This game's not going to be that. If Hill's going off in a way where he could potentially win the MVP, they're just going to give it to Mahomes, right? Because if the Chiefs win, Hill's going off. Let's ballpark if Chiefs have scored 30 points. If the Chiefs are winning the Super Bowl 30-20, Mahomes is going to get the MVP. Yeah. Unless somebody on the defense return a touchdown, and then maybe that guy gets it. But I don't think it goes to Hill.
My take on that too is, I mean, and this we can get into. Like, if you like the Chiefs and you think the Chiefs are going to win, and you want to pick an MVP that's going to get you decent odds, Edwards-Helaire is at +3,700. Like, I think like that, it's either Mahomes or him to me. Or to your point, like maybe one of the D guys. I could see a scenario where this game's kind of one of those weird grinded out games, and maybe he ends up being a little bit of the X factor in the screen game and in the run game. And so maybe at +3,700, it's worth taking a flyer. But yeah, I think Mahomes, if the Chiefs win, I think Mahomes is over 90% chance the MVP.
I agree. I just don't see how to give it to anybody else. I mean, even that game that we saw earlier in the year where Hill had like 200 yards in the first quarter, Mahomes still ended up with over 300 yards and I think three touchdowns. I mean, they're not going to take that away from Mahomes just because Hill went off. But I'm glad
I think a factor here too is Todd Bowles. He's not just going to give Ty Hill another 200 yard day. So I mean, the people that are, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying bet is under, bet is over. Or people that bet is over are stupid because I know a lot of sharp people that are on that over. But like, Todd Bowles is a serious defensive coach. You don't think that he's been game planning for 2 weeks on how to at least try to contain this guy? He's not going to go off to the numbers that he did the first time. It's just not going to happen.
Totally agree. You cannot let that happen again. So whatever that game plan is going to be, they're going to try and shut down Tyreek Hill. Now, does that open up things for Travis Kelce, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, maybe some other guys? Certainly. But I think we're all kind of agreeing on the point here. No matter what happens in this offense, unless some crazy ground game scenario comes over where Edwards-Helaire has 100 and something yards, maybe 50 yards receiving, two touchdowns, and it's a grinded out game, maybe he's the stretch. But I think Mahomes is the guy. You got to do it.
Has a rookie ever won?
Good question.
Bet no if I had to guess, but
I guess putting a pizza bet on Helaire would be just so that if you hear that storyline mentioned in the fourth quarter, you might just be like, all right, I got something on that.
One of my props that I did already lock in is Edwards-Helaire over 29 receiving yards. I got it at +150. I mean, it's not a guarantee, but plus money, 30 yards receiving. I can see him a couple checkdowns maybe.
Yeah. I'm thinking that offense can go for 450 yards. Why not bet on that? I mean, you got to look at it like that. For every prop with yardage and a KC guy, if you think that offense can hum for 450 yards easily, why not go over on most of their player props on yardage, right? I think they can. So it's, you know, 30 yards through the air for their running, but they're starting running back in a Super Bowl game where they're getting 450 yards. Definitely. Yeah.
That's my thoughts too.
And the offensive line, as we brought up, right? I mean, that means more checkdowns and more situations where Mahomes is going to get sacked and it's 2nd and 17 and they're going to need to just check down to Helaire to get yards back.
I love where your head's at, Coulter. All right, boys, do you want to do any more before we get into the actual picks of this game, or do you want to have any other storylines we want to cover, or should we just jump right in?
Let's jump right in while the water's warm, right?
I feel like it's all kind of free-flowing. Okay, so what we're going to be doing, we're each going to make our official pick on the spread and the over-under, and then we'll throw in a couple props in there as we see it. So the spread, as it sits right now, I'm looking at William Hill, It is Chiefs minus 3 with the over-under at 56. I think that was bet down a little bit. I think it opened at 57. So a little action on the under there. Let's go ahead. We'll start with you, Mr. Insider Coulter. Let's go with the spread pick first. Who you got?
Well, I mean, I've got the Chiefs in our pool, so I naturally have to hedge myself out and take the Bucks here just for safety's sake. But in all seriousness, one of my favorite props is the one that I just kind of previewed there in our opening spiel, where the Bucks win by actually more than 3.5 points at plus 250. I really like that. I think I like the scenario in this game more that the Bucks hit the Chiefs in the jaw and the Chiefs don't know how to react, more than the Chiefs or the team. Because if you think about it, they've already seen the best of the Chiefs. I mean, is there a better knockout punch than what the Chiefs threw at them the first half of the first game? I mean, the Bucks withstood that, and they know now that they can hang on a field even when the Chiefs are doing whatever they please on offense. So I like the Bucks and the points. I like Brady. I like all the factors home. Again, similar to the reason why I went with the Saints, you know, earlier in the playoffs, my one concern would be the coaching factor. But I think when you've got a defensive line beating up on a quarterback and, you know, an offensive line that has injuries in a big game, your coaching advantage might go to shit. You know, Hugh saw it firsthand. No offense to Tom Coughlin and the Giants, but when your quarterback's getting abused, the coaching advantage that you have on the sideline really actually doesn't mean anything.
That was, yep, Tom Coughlin slander. How dare you?
Well, I'm not. I mean, Belichick is a better coach than Coughlin. I mean, I'm not saying that they're gigantic. They're not like hugely separated, but I mean, Belichick's better.
Yep. No, that's fair. He is. All right, Hughes, what do you got for your pick here?
Yeah, I'm going with the same bet. I'm going Tampa plus 3. I think, yeah, for a lot of different reasons, like why not take the points? I think they're 3-0 in their last three as underdogs, in terms of covering, winning outright twice. I think they've covered 7 of the last 10, the Bucks, that is. The Chiefs have covered 2 of their last 10, including a couple, you know, where they were through right around this spread. And so I just like Tampa in this game. I think they end up winning. I like the money line. I like Tampa first half. I think the Chiefs have started slow. But at the end of the day, I mean, it could be one of those Mahomes type games. I just don't think it's going to be, because I do think the Bucs defense is good enough. I think they will overcome a little bit of what we would perceive as a coaching mismatch, just based on what you guys were saying. Like, they've got the horses up front to get after the quarterback and ultimately to disrupt the underneath and tight end passing game. Now, if Mahomes can get enough time and hit those intermediate dig routes and the 12 to 15 yard over the middle routes, again, with Tyreek Hill on the run, it could be a long day for the Bucks. But I do think they'll be able to get after the quarterback. I will say one of my favorite props is out there is the first sack prop. I mean, I was kind of on Sue first sack plus 1200, but there's a lot of other good ones out there if you want to go with JPP. But I think there's going to be some sacks in this game. I think there's going to be some guys getting after the QB. And I think that favors Tampa.
Yeah. I really like the point about jumping out to the lead there and handling the knockout blow that the Chiefs gave them. I mean, we saw that they came back and made that a ball game. They ultimately covered the number of 3, which is what we got for the Super Bowl here. Mr. Model phoned in his pick. He also is joining on you boys, and he's got the Bucks at plus 3. So that leaves me. Do I join you boys as a unison, or do I go with the crossfire? Well, let me tell you what, boys. This is a moment for a crossfire.
Bang, bang.
Now, again, I'm sitting on a futures pick of the Chiefs, so I've got, you know, a little extra rooted interest in this, a little vest in the pocket here. But I feel very confident about this pick. And here's why. I think the Chiefs were playing this entire season knowing that they're the best team, that anything short of the Super Bowl is a letdown. And I think we saw parts of that season where they didn't come out sharp. They didn't put the, you know, nail in the coffin. They didn't kill teams. They didn't have the killer instinct because they were essentially just playing for the Super Bowl. I think all the stops are pulled out this game. I think Mahomes comes out firing. I think Andy Reid has got some trick plays, some creative new plays that we haven't seen, and he's going to scheme up against the Bucs defense. He knows there's an advantage that the Bucs have on defensive line against their kind of beat up offensive line. they're going to be doing all kinds of crazy motions, crossing routes, quick passes. I just see all kinds of potential areas where the Chiefs can exploit them. Now, I like from the first half of that game, the matchups that they did. They got Tyreek Hill in the slot, and they essentially were having him line up against a linebacker. That cannot happen again. I don't think that's going to happen. But what that does is that forces the Bucs to then do different things, and I think Travis Kelce is going to go off. I think this is going to be a huge Travis Kelce game. I think, you know, if Mahomes wasn't there, maybe Kelce is the guy that wins the MVP. But again, that's not going to happen. I do like a big game from Kelce. I like this spread. If you can find, if this ever gets down to 2.5, put the mortgage on it. I like it at 3. I like it at 3.5, and I even like it at 4. That's how confident I'm feeling in this game.
Can we crossfire you at 4?
We get the odds going again. Maybe we do that. But yeah, I see. To me, I'm thinking this game is going to be close, but ultimately it's going to be a 6-point, 7-point game. That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any way to argue that that's, you know, not the more likely scenario. But I also think that that's kind of what the Bucs have been up against for most of this playoffs, is that the more likely scenario is that the better coach is going to win. The more experience, you know, the more experienced team, the team that's playing at home, the guy who's going to win the MVP. Now it's going to be the perennial, you know, heir apparent to the Brady throne in Mahomes, that he's going to knock off the king. I just don't think again, if you come at the king, you best not miss. They're going to need to come out ready to play in the first half. If they're not, then all of a sudden that doubt starts to creep in. And I think the reality for the Bucs will be that the confidence starts to creep in, that they can win the game and that they can win a Super Bowl. And I think that ultimately, I'm not saying it doesn't, you know, the Chiefs aren't as hungry. They won last year. Most of these guys have a ring sitting at home. And I'm not saying that that factors in, but like we talked about last week, this Bucs team is nasty. If this Bucs team plays with the edge and plays under control, I think that they can control the narrative enough where it's going to really be on Mahomes to have to win this game. And, you know, he can certainly do it, but I really like how this is stacking up for the Bucs. But you're, yeah, of course, you've got a really good shot at that being right, but I'm going to take your money and enjoy it.
Oh, okay. See, so
you,
I go
are
back.
You triple crossfiring Aaron, even though he's not here?
That's correct. This is a triple crossfire. Mr. Model is in on this if you like it. I'm assuming he would, but hey, we'll see. Again, one of the big things that I go back was I was actually, you know, in my free time last week without football, I watched both these games on the replay. The swing of the Bucs-Packers game was that, not Hail Mary, but that pass before the halftime. That changed everything. I don't think you're going to get that opportunity against the Chiefs. So you're going to have to grind it out a little bit here. And we saw Brady a little sloppy in the second half of that Packers game. The Packers defense is not good, let's be honest. And I think the Chiefs are a much better unit. What I saw from the Chiefs defense on the flip side was they absolutely neutralized Diggs. They shut down Josh Allen. I think he poses more of a threat, obviously, with his feet than Brady's going to. No, that's not breaking any news here. But the schemes that they came up with, all of a sudden their secondary looked incredible. And I think they're going to slow these guys down. Granted, the Bucs have a lot of weapons, but I see a game plan by Spags here that's going to be creative and cause problems for Brady. Just my take.
I mean, I like the Chiefs. I mean, they're a confident team and they know who they are. But I just think there's an element to being confident and then being hit in the mouth early and then not getting your way, quote unquote. And their way has been come back, whether it's the 21-point fourth quarter against the Niners or the 28-point explosion on Houston. You know, what happens when those kind of massive scoring quarters don't happen? You know, that's, you know, the elephant in the room that we still haven't seen from this team.
Yeah, and it's a fair question. Big spot. It's a fair question, but have we seen anything from them that shows that they're not capable of that? I mean, we saw it in the Bills game where you think, you know, lesser team.
Well, that Browns game, I was underwhelmed by their offense. I know Mahomes got hurt, but I didn't think they were lights out by any stretch. And that Browns defense was 31st ranked in the league.
That's defense, fair. I do think, though, if Mahomes stays in that game, I think they win that game by 15. I mean, I think just the way the second half was playing out, they come back and dominate that game.
They probably win the game similar to how they beat the Bills by 14 points. It's probably 31-17. I feel like you're right. You know, maybe when the game ends, we're going to all be kicking ourselves that the Chiefs end up winning this like 34-28. And we're just going to be thinking, wow, we overthought how really effortless it is for KC to just go out and win a football game. I mean, I could definitely see it happening, but I think I'm going to go with the kind of lesser approach. The more I hear people talk about this game, people are not saying like, What if the Bucks just are on top early and they just don't give that back? They're 3-0 is, you know, on the road, you know, this postseason. They're 3-0 covering that big number that I mentioned earlier, that 3.5. They've beaten the crap out of everybody they've played. Whereas Kansas City, I think, was they started slow against Buffalo like they normally do, and they were kind of lethargic against the Browns. Obviously, the injury playing a huge role down in the second half. But I mean, they weren't lighting the world on fire before Mahomes got hurt.
Yeah,
and the factor that injury in, do we not? I mean, all of a sudden his toe is magically healed and he's got no left tackle, and we're not going to factor that into the game.
All good points. All good points.
I'll say this: if Patty Tiptoes goes out of this game, he's not coming back, because he's going to know what's waiting for him. And I'm not saying he's not tough. I'm not in any way insinuating that he's not able to take a hit, but he's been banged up a little bit this year. And this defense, again, Ndamukong Suh may try and kill him. Like, it's possible that this guy is just, you know, public. I mean, these guys are going to be after him. I'm interested to see if the Chiefs can find a way to protect him, because I got to imagine there's going to be a lot of quick throws, a lot of run plays early, because there's going to be a concern that there's some rabid dogs on the other side.
Some dogs. That is my concern. I said that. I'm very concerned dogs about the offensive line cohesion there. But I'm still riding with the Chiefs here. All right, let's jump to the over-under here. Setting that 56. Nice round number. Coulter, what do you got?
I'm going to go under. It really kills me, because I do think points are going to be had both ways. But I look at last year's game and how that was 31-20. And, you know, I look at Tampa Bay, and I know they'll score more than that 20. But I do think the Chiefs defense is underrated. And I guess betting the under, I'm hoping that the game is low in the first half and that it never really picks up in the second half. It pains me to do it. It's more of a contrarian, because I know everyone's going to be playing the over in this game. I definitely see points. I'm going to be sweating it out. You know, it's not going to be a fun under, but I mean, that's the way that I lean. It's very slight, but I think that's the way I'm going to play. Just kind of a contrarian lean towards the defenses, lean towards the first half being slower. And then, you know, lean on the fact that we keep banging in that Mahomes might not be electric, that JPP and Shaq Barrett, two Super Bowl winners, might get to him, and Sue, who's, you know, determined to get his, might get to him as well. And, you know, maybe they just have problems on their offensive side and they don't score as many points as people think. So, yeah, I'm going to lean under.
Okay. Hughes, what do you got?
So I'm going to agree with half of what Coulter said. I'm going to go first half under, full game over. I think we see things open up a little bit in the second half. Got, again, I think good enough coaching staff, so you're going to have a level of fatigue chasing these guys around. So my guess is, again, based off what we've seen, things get off to a little bit of a rocky start. Maybe, you know, again, if, I don't want to say a scoreless first quarter, but something low in the first quarter, and then it picks up in the second half. So I will crossfire that 56.5, and I will go over.
Okay. I like where your head's at there, Hughes. I think historically these games, they're a little tight. People come out slow. They come out a little, you know, feeling each other out. The Patriots-Rams one, I thought we'd see some points, at least from the Rams standpoint. We got three. Last year, you know, the points didn't come on until late. I think you're going to see what Hughes laid out there is a kind of a slow, low-scoring first quarter, and then things start ramping up. I think once we get past halftime, you're going to see a ton of points.
I mean, I might not like myself halfway through the second quarter when you're right, when the Chiefs hit that, like, X button and they go into turbo mode and they all of a sudden they have 21 points. And I'm thinking, what the hell am I doing with the under ticket?
I mean, that's the only thing you got to worry about. And I was talking about the Chiefs offense is that they have that ability to go off, and it's not a guarantee because the Bucks have a really good team, but I think I'm going to crossfire as well here, Coulter. I'm on the hook again on a crossfire. I think this goes over, but not by a lot. I think this could be like maybe 1 or 2 points over. I'm hoping for something like 32-24 would be a great one. I think that's good with my math. My math's not my strong point, but you know, something like that, I think, would
32,
be
32-24 would actually be exactly what 50, I want, Cass.
56, that
would be,
right?
That would be half a point under, yes. That would be my bread and butter right there.
Yep, I'm seeing it at 56, so that would be a push for me. So, yeah, something along those lines. I think ultimately
you want 31-27. You want the Niners to connect on that touchdown last year. That would have pushed this over, yeah.
Yeah.
That Jimmy G to Sanders touchdown.
That's what we're looking for.
And you have Brady, so I mean, the chances are you get that deep ball late. You know, you don't get the Jimmy G pass, you know?
I mean, Hughes, what did we see in the two Super Bowls against the Giants that basically ended with Hail Mary throws that were almost caught at the end of the game? I could see something similar.
There you go. So interesting. That is a great segue to one of my favorite props that we've got on the board. Last play of the game is a kneel. The answer being no, plus 140. Lock it in.
Ooh, okay.
There will be no need to end this game. This is going to be, I just don't see it happening with these coaches. There's going to be enough firepower on the field. No one's taking the knee.
I kind of like it. I'm not going to lie. For the record, though, real quick, Mr. Model went with the over of 56, so he's on the overboard. We'll let him decide if he wants to crossfire Coulter, but go ahead. What do you think about
that? I was going to say, that's hardly my best bet. I can't believe I'm on the hook for 20. I mean, that's was a lean to the under, but I'll take the action just because it's Super Bowl Sunday, and I know the listeners want the fire.
Oh, yeah. We got some stuff. All right. I like that that Neil Hughes. I'm not going to jump in on that.
I like that. I like Hughes' confidence in it, and the plus 140 is great. And you know, I've actually heard people talk about the knee being the best like bet, and I think that's just like mindless. Like you're thinking too much about the game last year if you're thinking about knees. Hughes is absolutely right. This is a different animal. This isn't the Pat Mahomes is going to take a knee against Jimmy G ball. This is Tom Brady and quite frankly Mahomes. I mean, Mahomes, Brady has a lead. What, Andy Reid and Mahomes are just going to sit it out with 1 minute to go? I mean, they're going to go down throwing.
Right. So, as you know, as I just said, I'm on the Chiefs here. So, because of that, I found a couple of props that I really like. So, let me run through them. The first one is kind of a combo here. So, it's Travis Kelce to score a touchdown and the Chiefs to win. I got that at plus 160. So, I'm going to be taking that one. I've also got Tyreek Hill to score a touchdown and Chiefs to win at plus 150. So, I mean, let's be honest. If you think the Chiefs are winning this game, I'd be shocked if both those guys don't hit the end zone. One of them is guaranteed to do it. So that's why I'm putting it down on both of them. Maybe I hedge one way.
Guaranteed is strong.
Yeah, yeah, well, you know.
What if you get the game where Darrell Williams scores two rushing TDs, Mahomes rushes in another one, and then his TD throw is to, like, Watkins or the backup tight end, Seals Jones?
Listen, I'll go on the record right now. If Mahomes only has one touchdown throw, I will do something ridiculous. You can think on it what you'd like me to do.
I like it. No, I mean, not bad props. I mean, again, I think, you know, a lot of these props do depend on who you want to win. I do have a couple of neutrals that I'm going to be playing if you guys want me to go next.
Hell yeah, take it away.
All right, let's ride. All right, so here's what I like. I talked about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, MVP at plus 3,700. I think if you like the Chiefs, that's a fun one. I like Brady at plus 200. I mean, you're talking about Tom Brady, MVP at plus 200. Why not? Double your money. Like, what? I mean, again, if they win, there's a
good
chance.
43. Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely. You could hear that storyline all night long.
Yeah, I like Devin White, plus 5,000 MVP, just as a long shot. Again, put a few bucks. See if you. I mean, five wins, 250. Not a horrible bet. I talked about the no knee. That's plus 140. I like Ndamukong Suh, first sack of the game at plus 1200. And then my two neutrals. I like the total INTs over 1.5 at plus 200. I think there's going to be some balls in the air, and I think there's going to be some INTs in this game just based off the two offenses and what I think we're going to end up seeing. I thought at plus 200, that seems nice. And plus, that gets you a play both ways. You don't have to root or against or for any team. Then I also liked INT for a TD at plus 1,000. So we've talked a lot about, you know, whether or not the defenses are going to have an impact. Whether I do think there's going to be, again, a lot of balls in the air, and there's going to be some chances for these guys to potentially take one to the house. I thought at plus 1,000, it's not a bad line. So those were my two neutrals, but those were the props that I liked on the board, both a little bit short and a little bit long.
I like the interceptions one a lot. I mean, like you said, you're not rooting against anybody. You could be in a situation where someone's forcing some passes near the end of the game, and then you just got to have one other interception throughout the game. I kind of like that one. Coulter, what do you got?
All right, I'm going to go. I'll start with my first one. And this might, if you guys want to crossfire me on this one, that I'll take another round of it. Because this is my best one that I'm going to give out to the listeners. And it's kind of just a straightforward one. Patrick Mahomes. Will he have more passing attempts than Brady? Minus 1.5. I'm going to go with Mahomes. This is why I'm going to go with Mahomes on this proposition. Game script dictates that Mahomes will throw. If they fall behind, Mahomes will throw. If they're up early, they're not going to take the foot off the gas pedal. They're going to keep throwing. They learned from the Falcons Super Bowl that that is not the approach to go with. The clock will be not a factor. They're going to keep doing their offense in the second quarter, third quarter, even if they have a lead. There's a situation where they can't run effectively. They are down two offensive linemen. We already mentioned that. The Bucs linebackers are great. Their run defense is great. There's a chance that they might just abandon the run altogether at some point in this game and just throw the ball 10 straight times. We saw the Bills do it earlier this postseason. Offensive coordinators have been known to do less. Don't forget the short little pitch to Kelce and the little swing passes to Hill count as passes. I love that factor. I'm sure Brady's going to get his pass attempts in this game, but the Bucs are going to look to establish the run early, and they're going to look to keep the ball out of KC's hands and limit their number of possessions. If the Bucs are to win this game, they probably want under 10 Kansas City possessions. That means long drives. That means less necessarily throws from Brady. I see Brady trying to take chances on this KC defense. I see him going vertical. Mike Evans, 30-yard catches. You know, that helps me in this prop bet because that means he's not doing the 5-yard dink and dunk to Scotty Miller. I think that's actually where their offense will get into trouble in this game if they get too conservative on the passing game. So I actually like Brady to go vertical. But that, I think, goes in Mahomes' favor when we're just talking about number of pass attempts. I like Mahomes over 40.5 attempts himself, too. I'll probably play that as well, just as a little bit of insurance in case somehow Brady outthrows him in terms of pass attempts. But I do like Mahomes' best bet, 1.5 passes over Brady in this game.
I'm so glad you brought up that Bills game where they just threw the ball every single time, because I honestly think there's a scenario where that happens. I mean, let's be honest. They're going to be relying on a rookie in Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Williams to kind of step in, who's kind of a journeyman, played well. But let's be honest. If you want to win this game, you're going to put the ball in your best player's hands, and that's Patrick Mahomes. So I like that one. I could see that one a lot.
Two last year against the Niners, much better defense in a lower scoring game that played a little slower. And key point, we talked about it last week on the pod, Damian Williams had 100 yards rushing in that game on 17 carries. That will not happen in this game. I do not see Kansas City having a running back that's running for over 5 yards a clip. I mean, if there is, then this bet is in deep trouble, and so is any Bucks bet. Because I'll say right now on this pod, if Kansas City's running at 5 yards a clip, Kansas City is winning the game, period.
No doubt, yeah.
That's why I told you my one Chiefs play potentially is Clyde Edwards-Helaire MVP. I agree with you. I think, like, there's like weird scenarios where like it's going to be clear who's going to win the game, and that is definitely one of them. I do think though that won't happen. I think there's going to be a lot of pass attempts as well.
I'm betting.
I'm just hoping that Devin White doesn't take Patty's bonnet early on, and all of a sudden Pat's back in the locker room trying to figure out how many numbers he can add up, because this defense is going to try. Have I said this before? This defense is going to try and kill him. I'm worried for Patty. I'm being honest with you guys. As we've talked this through, I'm really nervous for Pat Mahomes' health.
He is going to
try and kill him.
He's going to be getting rid of the ball so quickly. It's going to be, you're going to hear Tony Romo be like, I don't look at that, Jim. It's 2.2 seconds. It's going to be insane. Yeah. So
it's going to have to be.
It's going to have to. You're right. I think that's the only way he survives. But I've got two other props that I don't necessarily consider long shots yet. And I apologize to the listeners. I haven't necessarily done all my final crunching on those. As we've said, the long shots I treat like the inner numbers on the roulette table. I kind of place them down. I've got ones that maybe are more like the first third on the roulette table, you know, some decent odds. So I've got, as I've been leaning into here, the Chiefs are my pick. So I've got one here. Tyreek Hill to score the first touchdown of the game and the Chiefs to win. That's at plus 800. I might sniff on that one, but the other one I've really been playing a lot the entire football season, and it's been paying out for me, has been halftime, full game, winners of the thing. So you can pick, you know, Chiefs to win the first half, Bucks to win the game, things like that. They're all different odds. So my gut wanted to say Chiefs, but the odds were just terrible. It's like minus 125 on that one. I found one that was intriguing, and it's a tie at halftime and the Chiefs to win.
Tie Bucks.
I'm going to put $5 on it. It's at plus 1,650, so 16.5 to 1 on a tie and the Chiefs to win. Granted, the ties are tough. I tried to go back and see if there was ties at halftime in the Super Bowl. I didn't see any over the past couple of years, but I mean, who's to say it's not tied? I you know, as a medium long shot, I'm taking my chances.
This is where we need Mr. Model more than anything, because you can actually bet on tie at halftime at 7 to 1, and so I would love to know what Bucks Bucks money line plus that 7-1 is because the payout is 20-1 on Bucks if both of those hit. So that's like the parlay combo is the tie and the Bucks winning the game is basically what you're saying is the tie and then Bucks win straight up. Or I guess the way the bookie screws you is if it's tie and then Bucks win an OT.
Yeah.
You get screwed.
So there is a tie option.
I think the bet I was going to say, is the bet clarify if you get the OT or no?
No. So there is a tie option and then it doesn't matter who wins the game. It was huge. Let me track it down though real quick.
Hey, by the way, we didn't, oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. It's 5,100 tie. So 50-1.
So one thing
tie,
we didn't
tie would be wild.
Was what about the flea flicker bet? We had talked about that. We playing the flea flicker?
I'm gonna play it. I saw it.
I played it last week. I hope the value hasn't gone dry on that.
So I don't have it necessarily as a flea flicker, but it's three or more people to throw a pass. So essentially one other person to throw a pass.
I don't know if we're going to see that this year with the quarterbacks. I guess if Mahomes gets knocked out.
Or
Patty lost his body.
Your narrative there is playing that, if he gets knocked out, then that's definitely paying out. So we'll see, maybe. Yeah, that's not the flea flicker, but I might jump in on that one too.
Yeah, I like that one.
So I like that tie at half because I have both Bucks and Chiefs. I think the payout there is kind of worth it and it's fun. You're basically just paying for a tie at half, which could happen. I know it's unusual, but we could see it. And the other thing is that it's like, I think it's -370. Will there be a score in the final 2 minutes of the second or the first half? So basically, will there be a score going into halftime? If they're saying that the odds are in favor of that happening, to me that screams like, what if it's 13-10 and the Chiefs have the ball and they're driving down the field and they drive and kick a field goal and tie? Like that could happen. I mean, it really could. At 7-1, I think that's actually good value.
It's been a nice payoff for me throughout the season. I did a lot on the Bills, as I was saying in previous episodes. So this has become kind of, if anyone plays craps out there, this is like me putting money on the field bet. You know, it's like, let me sprinkle a little on here. Odds aren't with me, but hey, payoff's nice. We'll see what we do.
I like it. By the way, I missed the felt. So we got to get back at some point in time to a gambling episode once these casinos open up again. Because I would love to talk some craps. Crap strategy 101. Dude.
Absolutely. As soon as it's possible, let's book it. Let's get in a casino. Let's lock it down.
I'm in.
Now, the other thing I would have loved to see in this Super Bowl, it's never going to happen, obviously, to start the game, instead of getting the national anthem, give us the Tyreek Hill versus Scottie Miller race. I want to see it happen. race.
Cheetah. I hate that guy, but he'd definitely win the race. That guy can fly.
Sam Coulter.
Yeah, I think it's got to be Tyreek Hill. He's the fastest guy I've seen.
Yeah. I like the balls on Scottie Miller, though. Hey, maybe he's a wild card in this game.
Yeah, he's making a name for himself. He'll definitely be able to sling a few products in the offseason. I actually have a fun little a prop bet. This is not a total long shot, but one that the odds just to me seemed kind of interesting. Ty Hill will get more yards than Mike Evans. I'm not going to contest that. But Mike Evans to have more receptions than Ty Hill is +250. Ty Hill has had many games this season where he's held to just 5 or 6. You know, how many times have we seen this guy just have 5 or 6? If Bowles has been dialing up a scheme to get this guy out of the game, even if he has 1 or 2 big breakaways, but the rest of his game is just, 2 or 3 catches, let's just say Ty Hill has 6 receptions. You're getting 250 to say that Mike Evans has 7. And I think Mike Evans is going to be targeted a lot in this game. And I don't know. I kind of like the value there. And I think that everyone's conception is that Hill is going to go for 10 catches. He's not necessarily a 10 catch guy. I actually think Evans is more probable to get 10 receptions in the game, right?
I think so too. Definitely. Cause he's more of a possession receiver as well. So, he's going to be getting those underneath routes, move the sticks type catches.
Tyreek, I just think there's a situation too where Godwin's dropping the ball and Brady just stops throwing it to him,
That's possible.
We saw that in the Saints game. He dropped 2 or 3, I think, went through his hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Not to mention what we could be getting is the Antonio Brown media trail. Everyone's going to be talking about Antonio Brown. I don't want to do that. I hope after I got burned on these, season picks of catches and yards with the Raiders, he's been dead to me.
Yeah, I don't think he has a role. I mean, if I'm being honest, like I think that if they can, if he's healthy, maybe they put him out there a little bit. He's been a little coy in the media. I felt like this week he says he's going to play. I just think that their offense, though, he obviously adds a dimension. I think their offense is fine without him. So I don't know, unless he's at, again, 100%. It's not like he's like some like security blanket for Brady. Brady, you know, I think appreciates his talent, but I don't know. His whole shtick has been kind of weird this week. So I am kind of interested to see how it plays out. But again, he's just one of those guys. I mean, like he could have a huge game and then we're all like, oh yeah, I forgot Antonio Brown was the best wide receiver 3 years ago.
Yeah. It's possible. He's sitting out there.
He is.
Now, speaking of Antonio Brown, this one is, I just stumbled on it a little while ago. I think this might be the best of the best. The Patriots during the telecast have to be mentioned just twice. Twice. -170.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
that's a definite lock.
I mean, at -170, they could make that -2000, and I think I would take the over on all your betting is Patriots have to be mentioned twice. They're going to mention Gronk. They're going to mention Antonio Brown. They're going to mention Bill Belichick. They're going to mention Brady's time with the Patriots. I mean, they're going to mention how he went from New England to Tampa. I mean,
yeah,
that's a surefire. If you can get that, I'm going to play that one just for fun. That has to go over.
And even if he has a good game, they're going to be saying, oh, similar to his, Super Bowl with the Patriots a couple of years ago, like some scenario.
You're
going like to
say New England head coach or Patriots head coach, Bill Belichick, when they mentioned Belichick. And then they're going to say, you know, he brought Gronk and Brown with him from the Patriots, right?
Yeah.
Unless they try to avoid it and just say New England the whole time, which would be ridiculous.
It's like one of those caveats. It's like, come on, sports book, come on. Well, we're going to end the episode with our wrap up of our playoff challenge. Just to let the listeners know, Coulter is riding the Chiefs money line. Hughes has got the Bucks. Winner take all. Not a huge pop, but a nice little $90 in your pocket there. So I guess Coulter's got the edge there because obviously they're the favorites on the money line. Got to feel good with your pick there, Coulter.
Yeah, I mean, now I've got a little hedge too on Bucks +3, right?
Yeah,
and if the game does go over and the Chiefs win, that'll at least pay for that stupid bet too.
That'll be nice. And then Hughes, yeah. Your boy, you're riding your boy.
I'm rooting for like 24-23 as the final, huh? That would be nice for me.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
27-26 works.
Yeah,
actually, 28-27 even works for me.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think it's going to be a fun game. Or at least I hope it is. I got my Super Bowl block numbers. By the way, the best block pool you can be in is this pool. It's $100 a block. It pays out $400 every score change. I ended up with some pretty good numbers. I've got Tampa 4, KC 0. So I've obviously got some options there. So it's $400 per score. And then whoever the final score is gets whatever's left. So I got a shot at whatever's left. So if anybody's out there are some fun block pools. Obviously the traditional ones are cool, but they only pay out, you know, first quarter, second, you know, halftime, third quarter, end of game, sometimes whatever, but this one pays out everything. It's a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a good day.
Hook your boy up. I want to get on that.
This thing sold out in like 30 seconds. Like this is one of those, it's funny. Like I'm in somewhere, obviously it does, you know, like, and I love getting in block pools. This one's one at work where if you don't email within like 5 minutes of it going out, they're gone. It's unbelievable. She does $100 block and a $50 block. Same thing. So they pay $400 for the $100, and I think it pays $200 for the $50 per score change. Again, it gives you a lot of skin in the game. Gives you a chance, even if you get those wacky numbers because of the extra points and stuff like that. It gives you options to win. So it's a fun one.
Yeah, I'm sitting in a good spot. I'm up overall in units in the football season. I've got a little futures bet sitting on the Chiefs here. So you know, I'm feeling good about this. I'm going to dabble, maybe put a little extra in there. And then see how things shake off. If I got to sit out the month of February and regroup by March, so be it.
You can get Mahomes, Chiefs, and Mahomes to throw two touchdowns for even money if you wanted that.
Boom. Boom. Love
Mahomes
it.
Mahomes is the MVP, I should say. I don't know if I clarified that point.
Yeah. Figured as much. All right, boys. We got Mahomes. We got Brady. We got a hell of a game, hopefully. Great episode in the books. We got some props down. That's another great episode of Double Down Trent. We'll see everybody next week.
Baby, look at me. Look at me. Your money, and you know what else? You're a big winner tonight. I want to leave. You're a big winner. I'm going to ask you a simple question. I want you to listen to me. Who's the big winner here tonight at the casino? Huh? Mikey, that's who. Mikey's the big winner. Mikey wins.
Fucking
asshole. All right, fine. I'm an asshole, but you know what? You're the big winner tonight, Mikey. You're the big winner in more ways than one.